Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoeconomy Quick Read. Alright guys, welcome to another Cryptoeconomy Quick Read. I got one today. This was actually posted on February 19th, so it's a good little while ago now, but it kind of flew under the radar, at least didn't see much attention brought to it, and I felt like it was really important and something that I had been kind of keeping a close eye on and waiting for some progress in, and it is about sidechains. It's from BitcoinMagazine.com, and it's another article by Amy Castor, and it's titled, Sidechains, Why These Researchers Think They Solved a Key Piece of the Puzzle. New blockchains are born all the time. Bitcoin was the lone blockchain for years, but now there are hundreds. The problem is, if you want to use the features offered on another blockchain, you have to buy the tokens for that other blockchain. But all that may soon change. One developing technology called sidechains promises to make it easier to move tokens across blockchains and as a result open the doors to a world of possibilities, including building bridges to the legacy financial systems of banks. In October 2017, Aigelos Kiyias, professor at the University of Edinburgh and chief scientist at blockchain research and development company IOHK, Andrew Miller, professor at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, and Dionysios Zindros, researcher at the University of Athens, released the paper Non-Interactive Proofs of Proof of Work, NIPOPOW. Due to the rather obnoxious number of syllables and the fact that this is an acronym used throughout, it will henceforth be known as NIPOPOW. Introducing a critical piece to the sidechains puzzle that had been missing for 3 years. This is the story of how they got there. But first, what exactly is a sidechain? Same coin, different blockchain. A sidechain is a technology that allows you to move your tokens from one blockchain to another, use them on that other blockchain, and then move them back at a later point in time without the need for a third party. In the past, the parent blockchain has typically been Bitcoin, but a parent chain could be any blockchain. Also, when a token moves to another blockchain, it should maintain its same value. In other words, a Bitcoin on an Ethereum sidechain would remain a Bitcoin. The biggest advantage of sidechains is that they would allow users to access a host of new services. For instance, you could move Bitcoin to another blockchain to take advantage of privacy features, faster transaction speeds, and smart contracts. Sidechains have other uses too. A sidechain could offer a more secure way to upgrade a protocol, or it could serve as a type of security firewall, so that in the event of a catastrophic disaster on a sidechain, the main chain would remain unaffected. It's a kind of limited liability, said Zindros in a video explaining how the technology works. Finally, if banks were to create their own private blockchain networks, sidechains could enable communications with those networks, allowing users to issue and track shares, bonds, and other assets. Early conversations. Early dialogue about sidechains first appeared in Bitcoin chat rooms around 2012, when Bitcoin Core developers were thinking of ways to safely upgrade the Bitcoin protocol. One idea was for a one-way peg, where users could move Bitcoin to a separate blockchain, to test out a new client. However, once those assets were moved, they could not be moved back to the main chain. Quote, I was thinking of this as a software engineering tool that could be used to make widespread changes. Adam Back, now CEO at blockchain development company Blockstream, said in an interview with Bitcoin Magazine, quote, you could say we are going to make a new version of Bitcoin, and we think it will be ready in a year, but in the meantime, you can opt in early and test it, end quote. According to Back, sometime in the following year, on the Bitcoin IRC channel, Bitcoin Core developer Greg Maxwell suggested an idea for a, quote, two-way peg, where value could be transferred to the alternative chain and then back to Bitcoin at a later point. A two-way peg addressed another growing concern at the time. Alternative coins like Litecoin and Namecoin were becoming increasingly popular. The fear was these altcoins would dilute the value of Bitcoin. It made sense, Bitcoin Core developers thought, to keep Bitcoin as a type of reserve currency and relegate new features to sidechains. That way, quote, if you want to use a different feature, you wouldn't have to buy a speculative asset, said Back. To turn the concept of sidechains into a reality, Back, along with Maxwell and a few other Bitcoin Core developers, formed Blockstream in 2014. In October that year, the group released, quote, Enabling Blockchain Innovations with Pegged Sidechains, a paper describing sidechains at a high level. Miller appears as a co-author on that paper as well. How sidechains work. One important component of sidechains is a simplified payment verification, or SPV proof, that shows that tokens have been locked up on one chain so validators can safely unlock an equivalent value on the alternative chain. But to work for sidechains, an SPV proof has to be small enough to fit into a single Coinbase transaction, the transaction that rewards a miner with new coins, not to be confused with the company Coinbase. At the time the Blockstream researchers released their paper, they knew they needed a compressed SPV proof to get sidechains to work, but they had not yet developed the cryptography behind it, so they outlined general, high-level ideas. The Blockstream paper describes two types of two-way pegs, a symmetric two-way peg, where both chains are independent with their own mining, and an asymmetric two-way peg, where sidechain miners are full validators of the parent chain. In a symmetric two-way peg, a user sends her bitcoins to a special address. Doing so locks up the funds on the Bitcoin blockchain. That output remains locked for a contest period of maybe 6 blocks, 1 hour, to confirm the transaction has gone through, and then an SPV proof is created to send to the sidechain. At that point, the corresponding transaction appears on the sidechain with the SPV proof, verifying that money has been locked up on the Bitcoin blockchain, and then coins with the same value of account are unlocked on the sidechain. Coins are spent and change hands, and at a later point, are sent back to the main chain. When the coins are returned to the main chain, the process repeats. They are sent to a locked output on the sidechain, a waiting period goes by, and an SPV proof is created and sent back to the main blockchain to unlock coins on the main chain. In an asymmetric two-way peg, the process is slightly different. The transfer from the parent chain to the sidechain does not require an SPV proof, because validators on the sidechain are also aware of the state of the parent chain. An SPV proof is still needed, however, when the coins are returned to the parent chain. Search for a compact proof. In a sidechain, a compact SPV proof needs to contain a compressed version of all the block headers in the chain where funds are locked up from the genesis block through the contest period, as well as transaction data and some other data. In this way, an SPV proof can also be thought of as a proof of proof of work for a particular output. Inspiration for the compact SPV proof comes from a linked list-like structure known as a skip list, developed 25 years ago. In applying this structure to a compact SPV proof, the trick was in finding a way to skip block headers while still maintaining a high level of security so that an adversary would not be able to fake the proof. In working through the problem, Blockstream showed an early draft of its sidechain's paper to Miller, who had been mulling over compact SPVs for a few years already. In August of 2012, in a post on a Bitcoin Talk forum titled "The High Value Hash Highway," Miller described an idea for a Merkle skip list that a Bitcoin Lite client could use to quickly determine the longest chain and begin using it. In that post, he described the significance of the data structure as, quote, absolutely staggering. When Miller read through the Blockstream draft, he spotted a vulnerability in the compact SPV proof described in the paper. Discussions ensued, but they, quote, couldn't find a way to solve that problem without compromising efficiency, Miller said. Miller's non-trivial contributions to the Blockstream paper ended up being a few paragraphs in Appendix B that describe the challenges in creating a compact SPV proof. It should, quote, be possible to greatly compress a list of headers while still proving the same amount of work, the section reads, but, quote, optimizing these trade-offs and formalizing the security guarantees is out of the scope for this paper and the topic of ongoing work, end quote. That ongoing work remained stuck for 3 years, making it non-interactive. During that ensuing time, researchers at IOHK began taking a more serious interest in sidechains. Plans were taking shape for Cardano, a new proof-of-stake blockchain that IOHK had been contracted to build. Cardano would consist of two layers, a settlement layer, launched in September of 2017, where the money supply would be kept, and a smart contract layer. Those two layers would be two sidechain-enabled blockchains. In this way, the settlement could remain simple and secure from any attacks that might occur on the smart contract layer. But if IOHK was to get Cardano to work as intended, it needed to solve sidechains. In February 2016, Kyaios, then a professor at the University of Athens, and two of his students, Nikolaos Lampros and Ekaterini Panagiota Stoka, released Proofs of Proof of Work with Sublinear Complexity, or POPOW. The paper was the first to formally address a compact SPV proof. Only the proof described in the paper was interactive, whereas to work for sidechains, it needed to be non-interactive. In an interactive proof, the prover and the verifier enter into a back-and-forth conversation, meaning there could be more than one round of messaging. In contrast, a non-interactive proof would be a simple, short string of text that would fit neatly into a single transaction on the blockchain. The proof-of-proof-of-work paper was presented at Bitcoin 16, a workshop affiliated with the International Financial Cryptography Association's, IFCA, Financial Cryptography and Data Security Conference. Miller, who was at the conference, approached Kyaios and shared an idea for making the protocol non-interactive. It was a, quote, nice observation, Kyaios told Bitcoin Magazine, but making the proof secure was not obvious at all and would require significant work. Zendros, who had just started working on his PhD under Kyaios, was also at the conference and he needed a topic for his thesis. Kyaios saw a good fit. Quote, so we pressed on, the three of us, and adapted the proof-of-proof-of-work protocol and its proof of security to the non-interactive setting, Kyaios said. In October of 2016, Kyaios officially joined IOHK, and a year later, Kyaios, Miller, and Zendros released, quote, non-interactive proofs of proof of work, introducing a compact SPV proof 5 years after sidechains had first been talked about on Bitcoin forums. Quote, if it were interactive, I don't know if it would have worked. With a non-interactive proof, it is really smooth, Zendros told Bitcoin Magazine. More work to be done. Even with NepoPow, sidechains are still not fully specified. Several questions remain, including, how small can the proofs be made? After a transaction is locked up on one chain, how much time needs to pass before it can be spent on the other? And will it be possible to move a token from a sidechain directly to another sidechain? Quote, a lot of theory still needs to be defined, IOHK CEO Charles Hoskinson said in speaking to Bitcoin Magazine. Also, while NepoPow is designed to work for proof-of-work blockchains, some believe that if blockchains are to take their place in the world on a grand scale, the future rests in proof-of-stake protocols like Ouroboros, Algorand, or Snow White, which promise to be more energy efficient than Bitcoin. In particular, if Cardano, which is based on Ouroboros, is to work according to plan, IOHK researchers still need to discover a non-interactive proof of proof-of-stake, or NepoPOS. Hoskinson is confident. Quote, we can definitely do that, he said. We can definitely have a NepoPOS. The question is how many megabytes or kilobytes is it going to be? Can we bring it down to 100 kilobytes? That is really the question. End quote. And that will do it for our sidechains article. I've thought since I first heard about them back in 2012 that sidechains were always going to be a really important part of the security model of this ecosystem. Because it makes, for protocol stack, it makes a ton of sense to essentially create a modularity to the features on or within the ecosystem. What you do is you separate problems from each other. So if there's an issue in some new development that is isolated to a sidechain, you don't create any problems. The problems don't fall back down the stack. They stay isolated on that sidechain. So that's in comparison to something like Ethereum. While I respect a ton of the work they do, I've always kind of had an irk with their process that everything, you've got such an enormous attack surface because everything runs on the core layer of the blockchain. So this was always a really interesting approach to me, and it's one of those things that you keep reading about, but nothing ever quite happens because there's these two or three main hurdles that just these walls that you can't get past. And this was really exciting for me, and it seemed to kind of fly under the radar. Nobody seemed to be paying attention to it. So I wanted to get this out for anybody who really loves this technical stuff as much as I do, because I think this is a major step forward in piecing these things together and getting the sidechain security model to work. And when we kind of cross that first bridge, I think it's going to accelerate very quickly. So it'll be good to keep an eye on this and see where it goes in 2018. I think we have some awesome stuff coming. All right, guys, that will be it for today. Again, this was BitcoinMagazine.com and another article by Amy Castor. I'll be sure to tag everybody in this post. Be sure to follow me at The Crypto Economy on Twitter. And my podcast has now moved to Podbean. I like their platform a little bit better. And I should be out on iTunes very soon, so keep an eye out. But until next time, this has been a Crypto Economy Quick Read. Catch you guys later.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.